You are listening to episode number 261 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, not officially on our bi-weekly schedule, because there's yet more at the end of the show with that. But first, before we continue on, we wanted to have a moment of silence for Zack Snyder. In case you're not aware, by the time this gets posted, it was revealed today at the time of this recording that Zack Snyder's own daughter had committed suicide in March, and it had been kept quiet. And as officially as of today, as of this recording, that he was leaving Justice League. And despite that, we fight about, nerds fight about Marvel and DC, who's better, and arguments about Zack Snyder's movies. That's not what this is about. Ultimately, this is a man who lost his child, and that is something that no parent should ever have to go through. So our condolences from the Mighty Warriors 3 to the Snyder family for their loss. And that hopefully whenever he decides to come back to making films, he'll be a stronger, he'll be a better person, stronger. Vaya con Dios. And also, if you, anybody out there who is going to use this as a reason to celebrate that Zack Snyder's off of Justice League, you're fucking scum. You're scum. You're fucking scum. I will personally have Taser beat your ass in the street, Jay and Silent Bob style, in the streets. Also, there's an echo going on. But let's go ahead and move on. First and foremost, introducing my panel of experts, or self-proclaimed experts. The person who wants to be married to Kimmy Schmidt, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian.
What is a Kimmy Schmidt? I've never
Ellie
heard of this
Kemper.
Thing.
Have you not watched the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? It's right
There's
up your alley.
There's a lot of good stuff on TV. I mean, it's kind of pick and choose. But
it's no, so
Unbreakable
good.
Is a fucking hilarious show.
All right. With that recommendation, I'll have to check it out then.
You will love...
Unbreakable. They're live, damn it.
Yes. Brian, let me just say this. You will, just like everybody else in America should, you will fall in love with Titus Andromedon. I'm going to leave it at that. Just watch the first season. It's only 13 episodes, 30 minutes apiece.
Wait,
they're not even that long.
Let me just say this. You know Magic Johnson's son? He's more flamboyant than him.
Wow.
Yeah, see, whereas Magic Johnson's son is a great roaring flame, Titus Andromedon is a fucking volcano.
I love Titus. He's so great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Oh,
man.
Yes, okay.
No, it doesn't even go close to that. Joining us is the man who secretly wants to be Titus Andromedon, Mr. Jonathan Cotwright. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hi, honeys. How y'all doing? Yes. I'm just over here looking and admiring at Adam Warlock looking like Matthew McConaughey. Yes.
What is this white nonsense? And finally, joining me is the man who is related to Titus Andromedon because of racism. Taser, welcome back.
Two things. One, Titus Andromedon is what would happen if Blaine and Twan from Men on Film had a kid together. If you remember in Living Color, that's who their kid would be. Their kid would be Titus Andromedon. And two, in all seriousness, I would like to see. I gotta wait for him to stop laughing. I want to give out. We want to say our condolences to the family of Yoshimitsu Banno, who was the director for Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster, who passed away earlier this month on May 7th. I would have tried to do it last week, but apparently I forgot. I meant to do it the same time we did Stanley Weston, who passed away, creator of G.I. Joe. But Miam forgot, so Miam getting it done now. You know, Gomenesai and Via Con Dios to whoever's left on his end. And hello, America. Hi, Canada.
We have international listeners now. That's a thing that's happening.
Yeah. Well, aside from Sebastian, because we know Sebastian. We know you're out there, Maverick.
Oh, Mav.
Yeah, we go Canadian, eh? Yay.
Yeah.
Hockey and beer.
Yeah, and hockey and beer.
All right. Well, let's not be like Trump's
Degrassi, hi.
Foreign diplomacy visit and be exhausted after the first day. Let's continue on with the podcast. First and foremost. Yes.
That's how you say that word.
Yes. I am dyslexic as fuck today. It's weird. I host two podcasts and I can't speak. But let me take you into the darkness as it was announced that Tom Hardy, yes, will be Venom in Sony's upcoming Spider-Man film. You may think you know the symbiote, but I was born in it, molded by it. I knew what the symbiote was before you were a man. Anyways, enough shitty talk. You know what? Here's the thing. That impression is, like, his actual voice in the movie is not a joke. The internet has just made it worse over the years. It's not even supposed to be funny. But, needless to say, it's been confirmed by a tweet from Sony Pictures over the weekend that Tom Hardy, yes, that Tom Hardy, will be playing Venom. They never said what Venom he's playing, so for all we know, it's Mark Gargan, or Gargan, or whatever the fuck his name is. But
Scorpion.
Scorpion, yes. Tom Hardy will be playing Venom, and the movie was shooting this fall, set to release in October 2018? I know it's fall 2018.
October 5th, 2018, and they confirmed he'll be Eddie Brock. That is confirmed.
So I'm going to say this right now. This is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. My problem with making an Eddie Brock's Venom solo movie is that what made Venom, especially Eddie Brock's Venom, compelling at the beginning was his attachment to Spider-Man, as he was the boogeyman for Spider-Man. The one villain, one of the few villains who knew about Spider-Man's identity and had this weird obsession with Spider-Man, to be better than the Spider-Man. And I feel like if they go with the direction for Venom, then I don't know how you can tell a Venom story of that carnation without Spider-Man. I mean, we haven't heard any reports on Venom being in this movie. I highly doubt it, since there hasn't been any press. You'd think it would be Sony. They would be pumping Venom's dick all over New York billboards and California billboards, but they haven't. This is a mistake. This is a fucking mistake. This is Sony still trying to... No, we can do Venom since 2007. Which, by the way, that was 10 years ago. Spider-Man 3 came out 10 years ago.
Fuck.
Just put that in there. Memorial Day next week. But, yeah, I'll see it for the show, but Lord knows I have low-as-fuck expectations. Low-as-fuck. Maybe the trailer will change my mind once we get one later this year or early next year, but I have zero expectations or low expectations for this film. Brian, you go ahead.
Look, I really have no strong feelings about Venom one way or the other. He's the one popular character who I just really don't understand why he's so popular to begin with. Maybe it's I just kind of missed the boat on him, I guess. I mean, Matt Gargan's Venom was fun to read. He had a miniseries back during Dark Reign that was pretty dope. Eddie Brock, I never really read anything primarily with his character headlining, so I kind of missed the boat on him. Agent Venom, I read a little bit of the Venom series with Ariel Olivetti on the interiors. That was pretty decent. But as far as, like, the concept, like, he's integral because, like you said, Ben, I really don't see him as a character that can stand on his own without Spider-Man being there in some way, shape, form. I don't think he can support his own movie. And not like they haven't tried to make Venom his own thing for a long time. They've been trying to figure that out since the 90s. But they just haven't really found a way to do it in a way that I think is really effective. You know, they tried once, and it didn't work. You know, Topher Grace poor bastard. He's going to go down as probably the worst Venom and probably the only Venom. But this guy, Tom Hardy, I mean, look, we can stand here and make jokes about the accent all day long. No, Mr. Parker, your punishment must be more severe. You know, all that good stuff. But it's really easy to just kind of sit here and say, well, it's going to be bad. And don't get me wrong, I don't think it's going to be great, because you can't leapfrog Spider-Man when you're doing Venom. You can't do it. I know, I don't care about the character, and I know that there is a way to do things. You introduce Venom as the symbiote suit, first with Spider-Man, and then he goes on to become the Venom, you know, the one everybody knows. And I just don't see it working. And also, Tom Hardy, really? There was nobody else lining up for the role. You had to get Tom fucking Hardy. Really?
Say that in your thick-ass Boston accent.
This fucking guy, let me tell you something, all right? This fucking guy, Tom Hardy, he's... You had to pick the most Hollywood obvious fucking guy. I don't get it. I don't see it.
Hold on, Hollywood? Really?
Yeah.
We're also talking Mad Max here. You know?
Yes.
So if anything, I wouldn't say Hollywood. He can play a solid man character. You know, not like, you know, somebody's kind of pussy guys out here. You know, he can play straight up like bruiser.
Well, see, this goes back to a conversation that I was having with some guys in my little
some guys? Okay.
Some guys.
By the way, Brian could totally be Mikey from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I feel mildly offended.
Hold on. None of you listening, tell him who that is. Let him discover it on his own.
So,
and we have lost Taser.
So we were talking in the comic store about the casting event. That was actually where I first heard about it. And there was the, you know, because granted, I'm not the biggest brush up on Eddie Brock. I don't really know much about his character. I don't really get him. But that being said, I don't picture him as, you know, Tom Hardy. I honestly pictured him more in my head as Topher Grace. Not in, you know, just personality-wise, I picture him more as slimy, kind of Weasley, you know, hates Peter Parker, sure, but
Venom isn't Weasley, though. He's a big hulking monster.
Yeah, and that's what people have been telling me, but the thing is, I know Venom is that, but Eddie Brock is not that in my mind. I don't see it,
you
know?
Did you not see Eddie Brock, how he looked in the comic books? Did you not see
it? I mean, I kind of see, but not the way he's been portrayed to me, the way I've seen him portrayed and the way I've understood him, is he's more kind of the guy who will undercut Parker. I don't see him as the big muscle-bound dude. I just don't see it. So, you know, it's a bit of a stretch for me, I guess, but like I said, I really don't care one with it, and I'm talking a lot for somebody who claims he doesn't care about this, so maybe fuck me, but yeah, I also mentioned that, you know, when we were in the shop, we were talking like, oh, who else would you have picked, you know, and that guy who did the fucking short film a couple years ago, Adi Shankar, he did a Venom short film with Ryan Kwanten as Eddie Brock, and for those of you who don't know Ryan Kwanten, he's primarily known, I guess, for True Blood. I think he's the brother of Sookie Stackhouse, the blonde cop. He's been cast in everything from fucking Human Torch to, like, a whole bunch of other shit, but he played Eddie Brock in a short film directed by Adi Shankar, who was the same guy that did Punisher Dirty Laundry, and he was good. I liked him. I bought him as that. I would have preferred him, but, like I said, I'm talking a lot to someone who doesn't care. One of you old men, take it. Fuck it.
John, you go.
Oh, thank you, honey. He's first, right? Okay. Okay, automatically, this will be a better Venom than Topher Grace's one. Because, well, at least with Tom Hardy, I can buy him being Venom. He's got a big enough physique, and I can see him as Eddie Brock being able to do it. Because with Topher Grace, my problem with Topher Grace's version, I kept expecting Red Foreman to come out of nowhere, tell him to put the tongue back in the mouth where he was going to stick his foot up his ass. You know? It just didn't work. And to this day, I try to, you know, when people go, oh, Spider-Man 3, and I'm like, what, you mean the movie where they were trying to audition for Saturday Night Fever and Mask 3 instead of doing a Spider-Man film. Yeah, I don't have fond memories, and I'd like to – I can't believe it's been 10 – oh, God, 10 years. But I'm okay with this, but I still would like to see how they're going to try to tie this in. Is this going to be the Sony's attempt to make their own separate Marvel Universe again, or are they going to actually do it joined up with MCU, like Spider-Man Homecoming is? Do we know?
Huh? What was the question?
There's been no reports that Venom will show up in Spider-Man Homecoming.
No, nothing. Okay. Vulture and I think Shocker, but that's about it. So.
And okay. He could be an after-credits tease. He could be that, but who knows?
No. If it's kind of joined in with MCU, then I'll have more of a high hopes for the movie. But if they try to do the little, we're going to make it separate but equal, it ain't going to work.
Because he's a black symbiote? Is that what this is about? You motherfucker.
That's right, buddy. It causes a lot of carnage when they do that kind of thing. Anyway. God, okay.
I see what you did there.
I'm smoking dope over here, I guess. But, I do like the casting because Bane was one of my favorite characters in the comics, and I loved his version of Bane. One of the few things that still endures with me from Dark Knight Rises. And I'm looking forward to it. Just have to see more. Until we see more, it's that whole, let's wait and see what they pull out of their butts.
For myself, like I mentioned offline before the show, I'm not a big Venom fan, especially not Eddie Brock. Eddie Brock annoyed the fuck out of me when they created him, and then they just kind of like they tailored him to be just that much of a problem for Spider-Man so that they could keep him along, and for whatever the fuck reason he took, freaking comic fans like, ooh, we finally got Bizarro Spider-Man, or whatever. And I never took a shining to him. I didn't really get into Venom until, as a matter of fact, we're talking 20 years later when we got Agent Venom, which is kind of sad. But unlike Bri-Bri, I won't poo-poo him being on it. Just I'm kind of bleh with the fact that there's a Venom movie, but I would like to see Agent Venom because that's interesting. I have a problem with thinking, or at least coming up with a way for them to do Agent Venom and have Spider-Man in it, because in my head you can't do a Venom movie at all without Spider-Man in it, and the most interesting version of Venom was Agent Venom. I'm torn by not caring much at all and kind of caring, but I will say I think Tom Hardy could pull off Eddie Brock. I loved him in Mad Max. I can ignore him, the fact that he was, Bane, because, really, who knew it was him? I didn't pay any attention. And I think I may have only seen him in one or two other things. He can pull off, not Super Bruiser, but he can pull off, Sean Connery Burly. And I think that's really all you really need to see.
That's what I agree with, because you see him in the comics where he would work out, where he'd make himself stronger. So that way, he would add his strength to the symbiote.
Yeah,
Tom Hardy, I can buy that.
Right, exactly. And I think he can carry that physicality like what's his name? Daniel Craig does for Bond. He can carry off that kind of not brutishness, but that kind of So I think he can pull it off, but it depends on the type of. Yeah, it's Eddie Brock, but what they do with the character, it's going to get my money because it's a Marvel movie, but I don't know how much about this, how much I care. That's, really where I'm conflicted at, so.
So basically all four of us agree that we really don't care?
which which should be sad, but hey, it is what it is. You know, what are you gonna
do?
Well, we're dealing with Sony's history. You know, yeah. Sorry.
Let's move on to the other bit of news, which makes Brian wet in the pants, which is the fact that Deadpool will be getting an animated series on FX.
Yay!
So I personally think it's by Donald Glover. I think he's doing it. I fully expect it to look exactly like Archer, which I've never seen, only clips of it.
Archer is twisted.
That's what I hear.
Archer's definitely twisted.
That's what I hear. So I'm not excited, but if it means more Deadpool for Brian, that's fine. I mean, you know, he doesn't have much to be happy about else these days. Brian, take it away.
I'm actually not stoked about this. I really don't know what to make of it. I'm kind of conflicted.
You were the one who wanted to talk about it.
I precisely want to talk about it because I wasn't that stoked about it in particular. I love Donald Glover. I think he's hilarious in his own way. Community, Riotous, I loved him. Atlanta was really cool. I dug it. I don't know that he has the right comedic voice for Deadpool. I really don't. Because Deadpool, what Glover does now, and he's the type of guy who doesn't like to retread what he's done. If he was going more for a Community vibe, which admittedly was helmed by Dan Harmon and not him, that's one thing. But seeing Atlanta and seeing what kind of humor Glover kind of goes for, seeing him do stand-up, I just don't know if his comedic voice is right to land this particular series. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm going to check the fuck out day one, but I am not wet in the pants over it, unfortunately. I am cautious, because honestly, I don't know that this is going to be a home run. I really don't. I just, you know, what Ryan Reynolds did with Deadpool was a miracle, and I loved it, but that's also because I kind of know what his humor was, and his humor, I could tell, was cut from the same cloth as sort of like the Deadpool character and that material and that sort of thing. Donald Glover he's not as overt as Deadpool is. Deadpool is more, you know, witticisms, observances, punchlines, that sort of thing. Glover's humor is more subversive. It's more subdued. It's not obvious. It makes you think about it before you answer. And that's just, I don't know if that's the right feel for this series. So while I will be checking it out, because I'm a mark, I love Donald Glover, I love Deadpool, I'll check it out. And FX, I love their department over there. They haven't really done a TV show I've hated. But I just don't know if this is going to be as good as everybody's making it out to be. Everyone's hailing it as the second coming. And it's like, maybe just, you know, dial it back a little bit, you know, lower expectations, because I really don't know. And to be fair, his brother, Stephen Glover, is working on it with him, and I have no idea what his humor is, so maybe he'll bring something more akin to what I think of Deadpool. But, already been ordered straight to series, 10-episode first season, expected to debut in 2018. We'll see what happens. I'm here for it either way, but I'm tempering my expectations strictly because I don't know if Donald Glover can land this one. But that's just my take on it.
Alright, Taser, what did you think about this?
I don't have the reservations that Bri has. That being said, Donald Glover isn't really somebody that I pay a whole lot of attention to. I remember way back when we talked about him in the context of that new Spider-Man movie, you know, whether he could play Peter Parker or not. But in regards to this, I have to say I'm also kind of mad. I want to see it because, yay, some funny Deadpool shit. But I don't know. I don't have anything negative or really positive to say about this aside from I'll check it out. You know, I'm interested. I'm curious. I don't have anything to poo-poo it. Unlike Bri.
I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm just saying to be reasonable with your expectations. That's all.
That's fair. No, don't get me wrong, although it still sounds like you're poo-pooing it.
I'm not trying to, if that's what
you're poo-pooing it!
You
poo-poo.
Quiet! You can't tell me what to do! No,
poo-poo.
Alright, John, go first. Go next, whatever.
Go forth! Sally forth!
Tally-ho!
That's about as excited as I can be for an animated version of Deadpool until I hear that they are definitely going to be at a particular level of humor to make sure he's done right. I mean, I'll wait and see more. I know FX should be a good place for it, and if they try to do a little bit more, you know, Archer style with it, it would actually work. But I'm kind of like, I mean, I've always been a fan of Deadpool, but I haven't been like a mega nerd Deadpool fan like Brian is. But I'll just leave it at that. It's a wait and see. I have careful, optimistic expectations. We'll just leave it at that. If that makes...
I feel like I almost single-handedly torpedoed everybody's high about this news.
Not really. I'm not a big Donald Glover fan.
I knew I should have ended with you last. All right. Let's move on to our final bit of news, which is Agents of Shit is coming back.
Woo!
Proof that ABC still likes to put on mediocre television on primetime.
Hater.
Not just ABC.
It's not ABC, though. This season's been tight, man. Been good.
Shit, Ghost Rider.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we call Stockholm Syndrome.
Not.
It's all good, man.
Hey, man,
relax and watch Coulson and crew.
Look, man, if Chloe Bennett wants to hold me hostage so that I get Stockholm Syndrome, that's fine by me. Sign me the fuck up.
I'm sorry, They managed to move past the whole, I'm so upset over the shit that I did, to her getting bitch-smacked around by Ghost Rider, to Ghost Rider shocking the shit out of just about everybody with, wow, this thing could hold the Hulk, couldn't hold Ghost Rider. Uh-oh! And, yeah, then they kind of wrote him out because they did the whole, you know, robot land matrix bullshit, and then tied it in together by having him come in and go, oh, hey, it is something for me to do at the end. And then, you know, him being, you know, the Deus Ex bitch slap of bitch slapping ho. Yes! I absolutely love the look of fear that was on, what the hell was her name?
Ada.
The fact that, holy shit, he burned me and I'm not healing. I fucking loved it. It was awesome.
Ghost Rider keeps the pimp hand strong, bitch.
Yeah, really. That should be his new nickname. It was fucking Flaming Pimp Hand.
Is Ghost Rider going to have to choke a bitch? You know. Is Ghost Rider going to have to get out of this car, put his hands around your throat, and choke a bitch? Get by fire?
This was a good season. And there was basically no relationship shit. Well, there was a little bit of it, but it was nothing like last season.
No,
this was a great season.
Oh, God, it was so fucking good that for the most part, they canceled most of the ship bullshit that you know, had really, I don't want to say no place, but look, Fitzsimmons is a solid angle, you know, that's cool.
Right.
The Phil May thing, it's been kind of there, and it's cool that they're kind of touching on it a little bit. They didn't really get far with it this season, but we'll see what happens next season. Because, if I may interject for just a moment and talk a little bit about the technical aspect of it, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is set to debut in January, next January, with no breaks. This is with Marvel's Inhumans series, which will debut in the fall, and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will follow up after that in, you know, timeline-wise. So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is expected to be directly affected by the Inhumans, and we'll see what comes of that, but for the time being, I think we should just let it be known, this was a really strong season, I think. Really, really one of their best outings, I think. It was really, really fucking good.
Agreed! Agreed!
Alright, anything else you fuckers would say before we move on?
More Chloe Bennett ass shots, please and thank you. We only got like a couple this season. We need more. Just throwing that
Hail
out.
Hydra.
Trump in the presidency, we're definitely going to get more Hydra. Speaking of Hydra, it's time for individual reviews.
Nice segue.
So I reviewed. Now I want to take you back. Okay, a couple weeks ago, where I made Secret Empire number 0 the book of the week. It was a blockbuster of a kickoff, and I was so excited for the book. And after issue 1, I was like, okay, bureaucratic bullshit. Okay, I still want to. Rick Jones got killed like by firing squad, so that was cool. I mean, not really, but that
Las
was so pretty.
Vegas
like
gets bombed.
Yeah, so that was the thing. Andrea Sorrentino's a horrible artist. Like, I have never seen an artist in a mainstream comic book have worse storytelling than Andrea Sorrentino had with Secret Empire number 2. First of all, it's bullshit that I understand you can't see McNiven. It takes him a while to do pencils, and I knew there was going to be multiple artists in the book. That being said, you tell me you couldn't find somebody with a similar style to McNiven or the rest of the artists. You had to go get Andrea Sorrentino, who's the most non-typical, like...
He was a bad choice for this series. He was a bad choice.
Right. And, like, one, his
should have gotten Alex Ross.
No, that would have been worse.
Carlos Pacheco, maybe?
Carlos Pacheco would have been better, because at least it looks more in line with what Steve McNiven does. Maybe not as good, but definitely in that line. Andrea Sorrentino's a completely different art style. On top of that, his storytelling is garbage. I was lost on half the time of what I was looking at. Like, what am I looking at? What's going on? I was so confused. And not to mention the writing of this issue. This issue felt like it was vignette. Here's where the tie-ins begin, because you get introduced to the Red Room. You get introduced to this person, this person, this person. And meanwhile, Steve Rogers is just being like, I don't want to kill people, but I kind of have to. I don't know what my... And it's like, I'm just thinking, what's the end goal of all this? What's going to happen? The only reason I'm reading this fucking series is to fucking see if they actually kill Steve Rogers again. That's the only reason there's some kind of repercussion for what he's done, because he's basically did what the Southern states did in the 19th century, is they commit treason against the United States. So, yeah, Andrea Sorrentino, you're a horrible artist. You have no sense of sequential storytelling.
Damn.
Get better at that, please. You have very beautiful images. There's no denying about that. You can't tell a story worth a damn.
Dude,
his Logan shit
was dope, okay? Don't badmouth the dude's entire body of work just because he screwed up one series, okay?
As a comic book artist, mainstream or not, you fucking better have sequential storytelling. He didn't have shit in that. You're telling me I couldn't follow it? Now I've been reading comics for over 20 years. I could not follow shit. There are artists who have very abstract styles that they have a storytelling down. I couldn't tell shit what was going on with how muddy it is. Also, his Iron Fist mask is shit. It's shit. 1 out of 5. Fuck that issue. Please pick up the pace in issue 3. Take it away. Whoever wants to fucking go next.
John, you want to go next with bringing us...
No, go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead, sir.
All right.
I was just laughing at Ben's distaste of this.
let me just slide on the confessional booth right here for a second. Forgive me, Padre, for I have sinned. It's been 3 weeks since I read Nick Fury number 1, and I don't think this would make Ben any happier. Not because it is Nick Fury. No. I'm switching it up this week. I bought Secret Warriors number 1. And I feel like I betrayed everything I loved and held dear by buying this issue.
Tell us where it touched you, Brian.
So the story, it revolves around Daisy Johnson, obviously, because, you know, you have to have at least something of the original Secret Warrior series in there, I guess. She has her team fed into a meat grinder by Steve Rogers, and I'm not sure if Ben will take offense to this, but hey, Ben, they killed Yo-Yo in this, so, you know. Yeah, so they killed Yo-Yo, and her entire unit is killed, essentially, by the Wrecking Crew, and she, I think, murders the Wrecking Crew. I don't know if they could be murdered by just shit being dropped on them, but as close to murdered as you can get, I guess. So she decides that it's time to lead the revolution because Viva la Resistance and what the fuck ever. But she's looking for somebody and she can't find him. And she ambushes a convoy where Miss Marvel and Moon Girl, who is the chick with the dinosaur, she calls them in for support and they form a team. And then she gets that inhuman guy who can set himself on fire. And they go into this inhuman concentration camp type thing. And hey, there's Karnak. But she's not looking for Karnak. But somebody took him, and Karnak knows who it is. It's the X-Men, because they got a sovereign state in Hydra's New World Order, and they gotta go get the person who is unknown back from the X-Men. And, yeah, and just... I don't know what filled me with such foolish hope that this might actually be good, but it wasn't. It's written by Matt Rosenberg, who, on the whole, I love. He did We Can Never Go Home, Alpha out of Black Mask. He's doing Kingpin. He's got a bunch of other things in the works. He's the hot new thing, I guess. But this was just not good. And I don't know if it's because I'm constantly in my mind comparing it to the original Secret Warriors, which is a foolish endeavor, I know, because this will never measure up in a million years. But it may also be because maybe the book just isn't good, because, Jesus Christ, it's a lot of present tense, flashback, flashback, present tense, flashback. It's cut up in a very – it's edited together in a very odd way, and I don't think the story flows as it should. Needless to say, I won't be picking up issue number 2. This can kind of go away now, please. And – I really hope it just stays within the confines of Secret Empire, and then once that's done, it just kind of goes away, because this is an affront to everything Secret Warriors was and is and ever stood for. So 2 out of 5, I guess. I feel bad because I really like Rosenberg's other work, but this issue itself was not fantastic. I will say, though, Javier Garon, he was the artist. He needs more work. He's a fantastic artist. He can do a lot of good things. He was the highlight. He had lush, colorful, great illustrations to go through, and you know what? I think he deserves better work, so hopefully he'll get some better work. But, yeah, no, this series was DOA. So maybe just kind of forget it ever happened. If we can retcon anything, can we retcon this? Can we do that? Can we do that thing?
If you cancel in 6 issues, you'll be fine.
Okay, that's good then, yeah. But yeah. Yeah, okay, there you go.
Okay.
All right, let's go over to the continue with the Inhumans train. Let's go over to Taser, who is reviewing Blackgar Bokugan, number 1.
I had a choice. I could have done either Generation X or, you know, jumped on with John and, you know, teamed up to do Luke Cage. Ugh. Or I could have done this, and I chose Black Bolt, which, I'm not sure if I missed something between that last Inhuman thing after the war and this one, or if this is just, you know, where it starts off, because last I remember, we had his brother being taken away, you know, for all the shit that he pulled in regards to, you know, the Terrigen Mist and, you know, the war with the mutants and blah, whatever. And in this one, you know, part of the narration is that they give us is apparently Black Bolt was under his brother's power during a great chunk of that, you know.
During what?
Yeah, hold on, where is it? I'll read it for you, because I was kind of like, say, what? Here, when Thanos invaded Attilan, and what was it, Black Bolt set off a bomb to destroy the city, whatever, apparently He had been under Maximus's power.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. The result was explosion. Many died during anticipation. And Terrigen proved deadly to the planet's mutants. When Black Bolt returned, freed from the mind control of his mad brother Maximus, who had stolen him away after the battle with Thanos, his people no longer trusted him. Okay, I didn't read, what was that, Infinity, I think that was?
Yeah, that
I think
was
that's,
the
yeah. Yeah, I think most of us, we just kind of passed on it, so I can't verify if that's actually what happened, but, you know, I felt the same thing you just did. I went, what, wait, what? Oh, come on, you know?
Bullshit.
Yeah, that's the whitewash to kind of clean his character up, because, you know, for the most part, Black Bolt was a, you know, stand-up person, but whatever. So, this book is, it's supposed to have been, like I said, in that last thing was Maximus being taken away into some kind of prison where only, you know, he knew, because, you know, it was better that way. And here we find out it was Black Bolt that was taken. And Black Bolt wakes up and he's hearing somebody, name your crimes, repent your crimes. And he's got, you know, a muzzle on, and he's chained up, and, you know, he's getting shocks, and, you know, he's like, I don't know what's going on. And a lot of it is, you know, kind of third person describing what he's doing. So for about, I don't know, 5 pages, it's all of this. And as you can tell, I'm really not that happy with this type of storytelling, you know.
I'm catching secondhand disappointment over here. This is
kind of, you know, I'm on the fence right now. I'm just, wait a minute, you better do something here. So he manages to get free of his shackles. He's still got the muzzle on. He goes looking around. He comes across a group of people, one of whom happens to be Crusher Creel.
Interesting. The absorbing
yes.
man.
Yeah, that's a first. He comes across Crusher Creel. Crusher Creel doesn't know Black Bolt, you know, doesn't recognize him at all. And Crusher Creel and a Skrull, too. Go figure. A female Skrull by the looks of it.
Because I've never done that before.
Yeah, right, really? So he fights Crusher Creel, who doesn't look like he's using any of his Absorbing Man abilities, and he actually gets into a fight. You know, and I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. There's got to be something else going on here, because Crusher lands a couple of blows on him, and I'm like, hold on, Black Bolt fights the Hulk. This should not be happening. But then as it turns out, something else is going on, because he ends up beating Crusher Creel. He moves on. He finds something. A thing.
A thing! Like Ben Grimm? Finds Ben Grimm?
No, it's a thing with chains and a red hood. And I don't want to say it like that, but it's a red hood. And, you know, it's kind of like that David and Goliath thing going on. And Black Bolt pulls off the muzzle, and he says, stop. And nothing happens. And Black Bolt's like, oh, shit. And then Black Bolt is killed. Black Bolt is deaded or something like that. And he wakes up somewhere, no muzzle, and he's with this girl that he had seen earlier before he encountered Crusher Creel. This was the person who was being tortured, and he was hearing all the voices, and he didn't save the girl. You know, he didn't get to her in time, but that's what led him to move further on, blah, blah, blah. And here she's talking to him, and she's like, well, I want to thank you for blah, 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 and helping me, and this, that, whatever. And yeah, we're left with him on some type of installation somewhere, because if this is space, this looks like interdimensional space. you're left with nothing but, like, what the fuck questions at the end of this issue. And the only thing that you know is that he can talk, you know, without destroying everything. So he talks to the girl. He says, I am called Black Bolt. I put myself here. So, yeah, that's literally where – that's the last page of the book. Okay. You know, Black Bolt is now in prison somewhere, and, you know, they're going to run with that. And I guess nobody back on Attilan knows that he's been taken, so I guess maybe Maximus took his spot again. Who knows? I'll be perfectly honest. It's not bad. It's an interesting tack to take because, you know, we're talking one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe. You know, so they kind of have to do something which is going to take him from his position of power, his comfort zone, and, you know, give him some bit of dramatic problem to see how he, you know, comes across, circumvents it, you know, beats it, whatever. It's an interesting read. I can't say it was awesome. I can't do that. But I will say it does have my interest. So the writer for this was Saladin Ahmed, and the artist for it was Christian Ward.
Whoa, really? Christian Ward. Ward Devil Brothers switched careers. He went to illustrating comics now. Is that what it is?
Hey, what you gonna do?
Hey, but, man.
If I had to give it a rating, I'd say I'd probably give it. I want to give it. Excuse me. I want to say 3.3 Warriors, but I'm gonna be nice and say 3.7 Warriors out of 5.
That is a precise measurement.
Yeah, because I can't give it a 4. I can't do that. 3.7 is, you know, nice enough. It's an interesting tack. That so far, this story, it's interesting. I'll pick up at least the next 2. But if it doesn't hold me by then, if I get to 6 and I'm bored, I'm done with it. So I'll leave it at that.
All right, let's close out the show with John, who is reviewing
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage, number one.
Yay.
Hey.
Mini revamp.
I enjoyed it. Hey, I don't remember all the extents of his origin, so if they revamp something, I don't
Gnarlin.
Know if I'm enjoying the title.
No. Gnarlin.
Written by David... Gnarlin.
Gnarlin.
Go back and read your...
I guarantee.
Go watch your Riverdale fiction.
I didn't say anything! Oh, my God.
You don't have to, Facebook. Anyway, the writer is David F. Walker.
Facebook.
The artist is Nelson Blake the second. And what the art on the cover is done by Rizzah. R-H-Z-Z-A-H.
The
I'm not
RZA.
Familiar with that person.
The RZA, damn it. The RZA.
Either way, the cover artist, I would love to see him do the internals, because I love the cover, him busting through. Well, you basically see Luke Cage in the first part of the issue running through, coming to a bar, and everybody's going, oh, shit, not again. And the owner knows him and is like, I hear you were rented out to your banquet room, the special one. Oh, no. Again, I should have checked their references more closely. He hands her a roll of bills, say this will cover any potential damages. I'm going to go, okay, you already know the way. And he goes down and, you know, confronts everybody, and, you know, again, showing how, you know, he's bulletproof and he's just running through the gang people. Grabs this one guy, mentioning how he just buys the shirts in bulk, so that way he doesn't have to worry about buying bulletproof shirts since he's got bulletproof skin. Throws the guy right through the door, sees a girl being, you know, tied, and finding out it's been a kid, you know, she's been kidnapped for the ransom of $5,000. Luke Cage was like, wait a minute, you're telling me I went through all this, the kidnapping, all that, and it's for $5,000? He's like, yeah, $5,000 is a lot of money. Cage is like, no, it's a lot of money, but it ain't kidnapping, hold for ransom, threatening to kill a girlfriend money. Hell, if I'd known it was only $5,000, I would have paid it myself. Saved the worst deal of the deal. And he's like, really? And he goes, yeah, most definitely. In fact, my boy Danny Rand, head of the Rand Corporation, you know. I can call him, get your five large, no problem. And the guy goes, for real? You'd do that? And Cage, of course, goes, no, and then uses the finger flick, knocks him out. I laughed at that. Talks to the little teenage girl, has the bit of the Luke Cage, you know, moral, the deal kind of thing. And he gets a phone call, finds out the man who did all the experiments on him, who to make him Luke Cage, passed away. And there he is at a funeral, meets somebody who's like a like his assistant. They're at the funeral, and you see this mysterious person in a trench coat eyeing them. Luke Cage starts talking to this other guy and finds out that he wasn't the only person to have been experimented upon, and they did more research using, you know, off of his thing, and find out that this one guy who's sitting there looking at him had asthma, you know, was completely like a cripple in a chair. Now he just still has asthma, but he's walking and being okay. And it was okay. They want to talk to him about, you know, possibly, you know, looking into his genes, because his genes are magnificent, so to speak. And they're on the road. And he's talking to the assistant, who mentions Mitchell Tanner, who was like Luke Cage. Only he went kind of buck shit nuts and, you know, died. And as they're driving, this car just knocks him out of the way. And, you know, he says, okay, I'm going to try not to hurt him too bad. And all, but these guys come in with a mask. They want to get the lady. And he goes, okay, I'll give you the first shot. And, well, they punch him pretty hard. And Cage, of course, does his thing, and he says, you know, he's always like to say, the harder they come, the harder they fall, and he punches the guy right back into the vehicle. This guy pulls out a sword that looks like it just unsheathes itself like something out of a Bloomin' Sentai series. Yeah, you know what we call the Minecraft
whip sword.
I thought
it was a whip sword. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's basically. Like, and he finds out real quick that, well, I can be cut. And the guy, is just slicing him, and then they're getting ready to kill him. This car pops up. This guy comes out and just starts shooting at the two guys, drives them away. And Luke is going, I don't know, but I'm dying. I'm bleeding out. And the guy's like, yeah, that's right, run. Think they can mess with me, mess with us, mess with family? And Luke is going, sweet Christmas.
Fast and the Furious?
I guess. But a guy picks him up, and he's like, what's the matter? You're not happy to see me? Turns out to be Mitchell Tanner. It was blue skin and everything. He's like, hey, it's always good to see you, little brother. And it ends, you know, on that cliffhanger. I will say this. Yeah, any other time I probably wouldn't have been. I mean, I didn't have any hopes for this one because I really wasn't sure what to expect. But what I got, I was pleasantly pleased. The art is serviceable. May not be as good as I would like to see for a Cage title. But right now, Luke Cage 1 and the three or four issues of Iron Fist that have come out have been my favorite stuff to come out of Marvel right now. And it's keeping me, you know, giving hope that Marvel can actually start doing more better stuff. And I'm also getting ready to start watching the Luke Cage series, so that's probably what's helping me pump up for it. And I've always liked Luke Cage, so I'm going to go ahead and go with number two and see how it goes. And I'm like Taser, but, you know, by a certain issue, I get bored with it, I'll drop it. Luke Cage, number one, I recommend it. 3.5 Warriors out of 5. The only reason why it's not like a 4 or even a 5 is because I don't have the cover artist doing the interior art. I really like the cover artist. I would like to see more of his work. So, there you go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. And again, I know last week I stated that we would be going on a bi-weekly schedule. Well, because of how it lined up, next week is Memorial Day, which we usually take off anyways. Starting next week is when we start our bi-weekly schedule. So, like normal Memorial Day weekends, we don't have a show. But starting after that, every other Monday, there will not be a show. If for whatever reason I cannot get at least one other person on a podcast with me, I will either try to find somebody else or I will just do a short 30-minute podcast by myself. One way or another, you're going to get a show on that week for whatever reason. It all depends who's going to be there. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw out the challenge right now. If you own a Nintendo Switch and you are purchasing Ultra Street Fighter 2, the final challengers this Friday, please find me on my Twitch stream at twitch.tv/Iggy2814 and let's throw down some classic Street Fighter 2, because Lord knows I'm ready to get my ass kicked online. All right, y'all fuckers, want to say anything before we leave?
Taser made mention. Taser made mention of it before the show. We mentioned it a little bit, but we recently hit a new high in terms of likes for posts on our Facebook page over at the Money Podcast. We have international listeners now, and that's coolio. So thank you to everybody who's been liking our stuff.
Yes.
And listening in. And please, as Ben says, we would love to have you give him feedback or at least chiming in saying, hey, good job, or hey, fix this. Give us something to go off of, please. We would love to hear from y'all. So if you wanna let us know something, please by all means type it in the comments. We're friendly people most of the time. Just don't bash anything, I guess, and we'll get along splendidly. Or do bash something, because I know Taser has more than a few barbs to go, and John too. So you know, but, bring it back around again.
To add to that, I would also like to say we do get a few repeat likes on our Facebook stuff. So I want to thank you guys that you know have come back for the past couple of shows and have stuck around. Shannon, I see you, I think Brock, you're another one. There's a couple of you others that I don't remember the names out there, but there are a few of you. So we just want to say thank you for the return patronage. You know, it is most appreciative. And like Bri said, if leave a comment. You know, if it's something that you disagree with or if you agree with it, although if you disagree with it, then we get to argue. Share.
We politely discuss.
I'm not going to say politely. I'm not going to say politely, but I do enjoy the discourse, the back and forth, because at least that shows somebody's thinking, and that's all I ask. Also, I would like to thank the people who have liked our stuff that I've been posting on Comics Amino. They've been showing some love there because I just posted the Iron Fist show. And, last thing I saw, we had two. So, but that was like about 6 hours ago, and I haven't looked at it since. But either which way, thank you for the love over in that venue. And I'll be posting our Guardians of the Galaxy review later on this week when I get a chance to do it. So thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, officially conclude this episode of the Mighty War Machine Marvel Podcast. Thank you always for joining us. Follow me at Twitter, twitter.com/MarvelousIggy for all things related to me, because you should obey me, for I am your marvelous one. And Jinder Mahal is your WWE champion.
God, you had to
thank you
out.
Very much. You have a good night.
It's a brave new
Nakamura,
world.
Nakamura, Shinsuke,
it's a brave
King of Strong
new
Style.
World.